This is The Law School Show. Discovering the person behind the resume. Bringing you their stories and their tips on how to succeed in your legal career. Catch it all here, right now, on The Law School Show.
So, could you please tell us about yourself without talking about the law?
Well, if I was going to describe myself with one word, it would probably be optimistic. I generally see the positive side of things.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, focusing on the negative.
Mm-hmm.
And I prefer to think that the, you know, the glass is half full rather than, you know, rather than half empty.
That's a good outlook.
I also sort of try and be enthusiastic, you know, for whatever I'm doing, both personally and professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm generally happiest, you know, when I'm able to find sort of a workable solution or, or you know, find a solution to whatever problem presents itself.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of your law school experience, what was that like?
Really, for me, law school was a wonderful experience. You know, I had gone to U of T for my undergrad degree.
Yes.
And so law school was the first time that I had the opportunity to live away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it. I met fantastic friends that continue to be some of my best friends today.
Yeah.
And, you know, law school also sort of taught me some, you know, what I consider to be very important skills that continue to serve me well today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, critical thinking. How to approach a problem and solve it, you know, how to interpret statutes or cases, all the kind of skills that I think any lawyer would agree is important if you're going to be practicing law.
Yeah. In retrospect, is there something that you would have done differently?
Honestly, I don't think of things that way. I would generally say no because, you know, it's really the good and the bad of any kind of experience.
Yeah.
That really makes it an experience. And, you know, I could say, oh, I wish I hadn't, you know, been so focused and, you know, driven when it came to studying for exams, or, you know, I wish I had taken courses, you know, maybe that I enjoyed more rather than that I thought were good for my career. But, you know, all of these choices, sort of good and bad, are what have gotten me to where I am today. So there's not really much I would change.
That's good to hear. So in terms of your career development, when and how did you find out your interest in securities and corporate law, and more specifically the mining sector?
Well, you know, I'd like to say that I always knew I'd be a securities lawyer, or, you know, that somehow I, you know, meticulously planned out my career and, you know, prepared for it, you know, took business courses, or, you know, did a summer working for a mining company. But, you know, I'd like to say all those things happen, but the reality is, you know, life is rarely the way that we plot it out, you know, or the way we expect the path that it will take. It's much more often sort of a combination of luck and circumstance and timing, you know, that really determines the path we're going to take. And for me, you know, when I came out of law school, I articled at Heenan Blakey, and I always assumed I'd be a litigator. You know, I didn't have a business background, or an accounting or finance designation. I had taken history and political science at U of T.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I really knew nothing about mining or mining finance. I didn't have any family members that were in the industry. And, you know, I always expected that I would sort of love the litigation experience. You know, the sort of aspects of litigation, you know, prepping a case, you know, arguing before a judge. You know, I just assumed all of these things would really be for me. And really, it wasn't until I actually started practicing that I realized I really didn't like preparing factums, and I didn't like reading case law, and you know, I couldn't believe how long it took for litigation to work its way through, you know, the court systems. And so, you know, I realized I didn't actually have the personality or the temperament, really, for protracted litigation. And so it was really the first time I worked on a securities deal, you know, that I knew I was hooked, so to speak. Securities and corporate law, you know, is very much, unlike litigation, it's much more statute-driven.
Okay.
And, I enjoyed reading and interpreting the statutes. I loved the atmosphere and the dynamic of working on a deal team. You know, I enjoyed the fast pace and urgency that sort of comes with working on securities transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's, you know, you sort of from start to finish, a securities deal will usually be completed in a matter of weeks. Rather than potentially a matter of years when you're talking about a protracted piece of litigation. So, and I guess most of all, I liked that everyone, whether we were on the same side or the lawyers that were working on the other side, we were all sort of working towards a common goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that goal is really to get the deal done. I think anyone who works in a transaction-based practice understands that, you know, there's going to be arguments, there's going to be negotiation, there's going to be to-ing and fro-ing, but really we're all working towards a similar goal, and that's really just to get the deal done.
Okay, so for a student then trying to figure out what their interest in law is there some sort of advice that you'd give them?
I guess really my advice is always sort of just, you know, relax. You have a lot of years to make this decision. You have to open yourself up to the possibilities that you'll be given once you summer an article. Chances are, many law students don't really understand what's involved in all the various aspects. There's Aboriginal law, environmental law, private equity, mining, insolvency. These are all areas that you might hear about in law school, or you might take a course, but until you get into practice, that's really where you get the opportunity to see, what's going on. And and so I always think that, think about what you enjoy and what you enjoy doing or have an interest in, and then, see what areas of the law might tap into something similar.
Okay. So try it and then figure things out, sort of. As well.
Yeah, just like I said, relax, and don't feel that you need to come out of law school with a perfect path or with an exact understanding of what area you're going to practice in, because I think it's really there's a lot of opportunities and there's a lot of new emerging practice groups as particularly in technology and some of the other areas that are coming to fruition now. So just give yourself the time to try all the different practice areas when you're articling and summering, and then see what grabs your interest.
And in terms of your career development, I was wondering if you could just maybe describe how you went from articling to becoming a partner at Bennett Jones.
Sure. I think my career path is probably not unlike a lot of people of my area.
Yeah.
Era. When I graduated from law school, which was in 1997, there was still very much the old way of thinking. Like, basically, you would choose a law firm, you'd summer, you'd article there, you'd become an associate, and eventually, if that was your career goal, you'd become a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And then, basically, you retire 35 years later with your gold watch, and that was kind of the... that was the expectation, is that you would generally spend your career at the firm you started with. And, it was really in my era, in the 90s and 2000s, that lawyers really started to move around a lot more. There was no longer sort of the constraints that they felt that, you had to stay at one firm for life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you were unhappy or you saw opportunities elsewhere, lawyers really started to move around to find that, that elusive right fit, as we always talk about.
Mm.
I think this concept of mobility is sort of a given now for your generation, but it really wasn't the norm when I started. But for me, I was never sort of, afraid to look over the fence or to see what other opportunities might be around. And so I worked at different firms on Bay Street prior to ultimately finding my way to Bennett Jones. And my decision to move was always based on, belief that I would either get a better experience or have better opportunities for myself and for my clients at whatever new firm I worked at. And, you know, fortunately for me, you know, I was right more times than I was wrong.
That's good.
And I think the most important thing really any lawyer has to do to be, is, and I know this sounds simplistic, but, you know, you really have to become a good lawyer. And I know that's obvious, but, you know, honing and developing your skills, you know, in whatever area you practice in is vital. You know, you want to be the best. You want to work on as many deals or cases as possible in as many different areas as you can. Mm-hmm. You know, read statutes, read cases, read industry materials and newspapers. You know, you want to be well-rounded and knowledgeable. And so for me, as I was coming up, that was something I always tried to focus on, to be as knowledgeable as I could be, you know, in the areas that were important for me and for my clients, and really just to get as solid a foundation as I could in terms of you know, being in the areas that I was practicing in, making sure that I had the knowledge and the foundation to respond to my clients and to be able to, you know, answer any questions and solve the problems that they brought to me. So. One other thing I would point out is, as you know, in terms of career development, you know, one of the things I think students it's important to understand is you need to also build your network.
Okay.
You know, all those friends that you went to high school with, who may ultimately end up, you know, starting their own businesses or, you know, becoming lawyers, accountants, or investment bankers. You know, all those people that you meet at, you know, parties or charity events, all those are all the people that are going to sort of form your network of potential business contacts in the future. And so, you know, really right from the beginning, you know, I was sort of cognizant of the fact that you, it was important to build that network and to ensure that, you know, you kept in touch with people, that you make that extra effort to make sure that you're, you have those contacts going forward.
And as you were, I guess, developing your knowledge in law and becoming more of an expert, what sort of challenges did you face?
Well, I think, you know, law is a challenging career.
Yeah.
And I think that's really no matter what area you practice in. And, you know, I think that lawyers need to combine many skill sets. You know, it's not just being a good lawyer. You have to be able to, as I said, develop and bring in business. You have to be a good teacher and mentor. And you have to be a good business person because, you know, ultimately you are running your own business when you're a partner in a law firm. And it's not easy for one person to always combine all of those skills. More often than not, you're going to find that you'll be good in some areas and there will be other areas that are more difficult to master. For me, probably one of the biggest challenges was this concept of developing my business understanding. So, you know, being able to read financial statements, you know, understanding accounting rules, you know, learning how to, you know, analyze my client's business and understand sort of the vernacular used in business and finance. You know, these are things that I had to learn on the job because I didn't have a business or a finance background or degree. So, you know, that's one thing that there's no reason why you can't do it, but it's definitely more challenging if you decide to go into a corporate field or a business area to practice. If you don't have that background, then there's a lot of on-the-job training. And then I would also say, obviously, as a woman, you know, I chose really one of the more sort of male-dominated practice areas, being securities law. Particularly with a focus on mining. And so, you know, that brings me into contact with some very strong male personalities at times. But, you know, I always tried not to allow myself to be swayed from, you know, what I wanted to do simply because it might be a little harder to accomplish. You do need to have a thick skin and an ability to sort of roll with the punches. But, you know, that's part of being successful is understanding what your weaknesses and strengths are, and it's important to surround yourself with good people, good smart people. You know, that helps you in succeeding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having people you can depend on and work with, makes a challenging environment a little less challenging.
And so in terms of your current role, some people might not really, I guess, know what goes on in securities and corporate law. So I was just wondering if you could tell us a bit about your day-to-day responsibilities.
Sure. So I am a partner at Bennett Jones.
Yeah.
And I'm also co-head of our capital markets and M&A practice group.
Mm-hmm.
So just generally, our corporate department is divided up into a number of what are called practice groups. And this includes areas like, corporate commercial, financial services, real estate, private equity, mining. These are all sort of practice groups under the larger umbrella of what we would call the corporate department.
Uh-huh.
And as the head of one of these practice groups, I'm responsible for issues within that group, including dealing with things like continuing legal education, associate hiring and review, as well as, allocation of resources and responding to the needs of, the members of the group. So, these are sort of the responsibilities I have within the firm.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, I also run a full-time practice, and the focus of my practice is securities, corporate finance, M&A, and mining transactions.
Yes.
And, first and foremost, I am a lawyer, so with an active practice. So serving my clients' needs is really my number one priority.
Mm-hmm.
And that can take on many different forms on a day-to-day basis. Clients will call, sometimes they're seeking advice, or guidance. They might be considering a potential new transaction or a financing.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that they want to discuss with me or with their lawyers in advance. I may be involved in negotiating agreements if they're doing an asset or a property acquisition. I could also be involved dealing with the regulators like the Ontario Securities Commission or uh-huh. the Toronto Stock Exchange. These are all things depending on what my clients are in the process of doing, as a public company, mm-hmm. you will often find yourselves having to respond to or to deal with regulators when you're planning to do different activities.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, ongoing sort of continuous disclosure or governance issues that we assist clients with, sort of on a regular basis. And these are all kind of sort of the day-to-day activities, I would kind of call them.
Yeah.
And obviously they vary depending on, what's going on and what my clients mm-hmm. are doing.
Just like got something caught in my throat. But what skills do you think have contributed most to your success?
I think generally I'm good with people. I can focus in on, what their issues are. Mm-hmm. And work to help them find a solution to their problems. I think I have a strong work ethic, and I'm a good communicator and problem solver. I also enjoy working in a team environment,
mm-hmm.
Which is important, I think, for anyone who wants to work within a law firm. And I also think I'm quite empathetic. I genuinely care about my clients,
mm-hmm.
And the people I work with, and. I try to ensure that anyone working with me, can talk to me whenever there's a question or a problem. I try and ensure that any of the juniors working with me get the feedback they need
mm-hmm.
To make them better lawyers.
Of course.
And, I'm generally quite dedicated to my clients' needs and the needs of my firm. And I take my job very seriously and,
mm-hmm.
Always try and approach each task with enthusiasm.
Yeah,
and striving to be successful and to successfully complete whatever task I'm starting.
What do you think is the best thing about your job?
I guess it sounds a little cliche,
yes.
But I think the best thing about my job really is the people,
uh-huh.
And that's both clients and clients and colleagues.
Yes,
I work with very smart, motivated people. That have a
mm-hmm.
That have a passion for for succeeding and for taking care of their clients. Many of my colleagues and clients have become friends. which has enriched my life, and I feel fortunate to have met many of them. Mm-hmm. You know, and in addition, I would say that, you know, the best thing is really the work. You know, I still find what I do interesting and challenging, and it's a practice area that is always changing, so mm-hmm. there's always something new to learn, and, you know, to keep you on your toes. So I think if you manage to find work you like to do in an environment with people you enjoy working with, I think generally that's a recipe for success.
And what... Oh, is it fair to say that these things are what keeps you motivated, or are there other things that keep your motivation going?
Definitely, those are the things. It's you know, my motivation comes from, you know, a combination of the work that I do,
yes.
and just a desire to really provide the best legal service I can. I still enjoy the start of every new transaction. Mm-hmm. You know, getting working with the client, assessing issues, determining problems, you know, charting a path forward. You know, these are all still things that really get me going and I enjoy doing. And, you know, there's always sort of some similarities amongst the kind of transactions that I might work on. Mm-hmm. There's always something new. You know, the people are different. There's going to be different challenges and problems that have to be dealt with. Working in mining, you know, most of our clients will have projects in other parts of the world. We have clients with projects in South America, Australia, Papua New Guinea, yeah. West Africa. You know, working in these kind of jurisdictions are always presents some interesting challenges. So, you know, there's always something new, and there's always something that keeps you motivated and keeps you interested.
Going on the topic of something new, what sort of changes do you anticipate in your practice area in the next 5 years?
I think the simple answer to that is technology, and the impact that technology is going to have on the way we practice and the way we interact with our clients. You know, if I think back to when I started practicing in the late 90s, you know, we did not have internet access from our office computer. There was, you know, one terminal in the library that had internet access, and if you needed to look something up, you know, you'd go and wait your turn to get on the internet. And that was it. You know, there was no email, no Blackberries or iPhones. You know, when we had to send documents or, you know, information to our clients or to other lawyers, it had to be sent by fax. Uh-huh. So, you know, I feel like a bit of a dinosaur when I say that, but, you know, it's really not that long ago.
Yes.
And yet the difference that technology has made in really revolutionizing the practice of law is remarkable, you know, and whether that's in the way we communicate or the way we access information or, you know, the way we process information, you know, technology has made all of those things, you know, faster, more available. And it's really required lawyers to stay current. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in terms of what I think is to come, I think, you know, changes in technology will impact all practice areas. You know, you're seeing the evolution of things like artificial intelligence.
Yes.
In the professional workplace. You know, I think we're going to see computer programs that will help us do the kind of activities that really lawyers themselves had to do, you know, compiling data, completing due diligence reviews, organizing files, you know, helping assist, you know, determining the outcomes of certain matters. I think these are all things that are going to expand as technology expands. And so, you know, in 5-10 years, I think we probably can't even envision, you know, what the new changes will be for technology. But I suspect that will be something that impacts really every practice area.
I see. Now, is there some sort of career goal that you're still striving for?
You know, it's a good question, and it's an interesting one to ask someone, you know, who's been doing this for a number of years.
Yes.
But, you know, here every year, we as partners at Bennett Jones, we take time to consider, you know, at the end of the year, what we've done for the year, and think about, you know, what we want to accomplish for the following year. It's sort of a practice that we all undertake as the year comes to an end.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of that exercise is to make sure that you don't just find yourself doing the same thing year after year, right? Mm. It's important to never feel that you've sort of done everything you can do or learned everything you can learn. There's always, more you want to accomplish. And so, yes. Those goals can be, whether it's, wanting to expand your knowledge in an area that maybe you're not as familiar with, or, mm-hmm. If you want to take, be better at client development, or, branch off into a new area. There's always things that, we all are striving to get better at or succeed at. And I think that that's something that, at the end of the year is always a good time to sort of take stock and to think about where you want to go. So setting goals is an important part, I think, of a lawyer's career, whether you're just starting out or whether you're a partner.
Okay. And what does work-life balance mean to you?
Well, as I said, law is a challenging career. And it requires a great deal of commitment and dedication. Mm-hmm. And at times it will require you to give 100% to your clients or to whatever transaction or case you might be working on. So, when I think about balancing my work life and my personal life, I think more often than not, it's not as much about balance as it is about prioritizing.
Okay.
So there will be times when your family life has to take priority, for example. So whether it's because you have to care for, a sick parent, or because your children need you to, want you to attend a play that they're in, or, you're taking them on a family vacation, whatever the issue, there's going to be times when, family is and should be prioritized.
Yes.
And then equally, there's going to be times when work has to take priority. If you have a client that, is in the midst of completing an IPO, or is the target of a hostile takeover bid, or is being sued, yes. Whatever the issue, there's going to be times when you have to devote very long hours and many weekends to giving your clients your sort of full attention. So this is really the way that I've found to be able to give sort of 100% to whatever task I'm working on. Because the alternative is, you try and stretch yourself so thin, or you try and please everyone, and it's difficult or, almost impossible, really, to be at your best and to really achieve the results you want. So, I'm not saying this is a perfect system. There are many times when I've had to struggle to make it all work. But that is where it's also very important to have a strong support system. A supportive spouse is really what makes this all work, because they are on this journey with you, and there is going to be times where you need their love and support, and most importantly, their patience for when you're juggling, a million things at once. So, like I said, for me, it's the whole concept of work-life balance is one that everybody struggles with and is a challenge, I think, for all lawyers. And so, for me, I try and I try not to put that much pressure on myself to say I have to balance everything perfectly. And so I work on things as they come, and I prioritize as needed. And that's sort of been a recipe for success for me.
Perfect. Now, one last question. If you weren't a lawyer, what would you do for work?
I think I would probably teach.
Okay.
I started teaching a business associations course at Osgood for their LLM professional program a few years ago, and really found that I enjoyed much more than I thought I would that aspect of things. When I look back, and some of the best professors I had, certainly at law school, were practitioners. Because they, they were always the ones that could give you those real world examples and applications to the, theoretical issues that you were learning. And so for me, that was always sort of the thing that I found most engaging. And, the lawyers love to tell stories, right? There's nothing a lawyer likes better than to be able to tell stories. So I think your class tends to be your captive audience. And, I was telling a story to my students a few weeks ago, and one of them came up to me, and I thought I was probably telling them too many work stories, and one of them came up to me afterwards and said that you know, that was by far their favorite part of the class.
Oh.
was hearing the real world, practical examples of all the information that they learn on a theoretical basis. So, so I guess that's an effective way of teaching. I hope so, because it's definitely something I continue to do. But I do enjoy the interaction with students. I enjoy the teaching aspect. I like imparting knowledge and answering questions and, you know, hopefully providing some form of role model or providing guidance when needed. So I think it would probably be teaching if I wasn't doing what I was doing.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
You've just been listening to The Law School Show. You can find all our episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, or at our website at thelawschoolshow.com. If you liked what you heard, like us again on Facebook and get the latest updates from The Law School Show. Career advancing advice, right to your earbuds.